Well, I believe it's time has come that we hear what we came here to hear. Our brother Hubert's not a stranger to any of us by any means, more of a family member to most all of us. And I know he has a message, and I'd ask that you would open your ears and your heart that you might hear the message that he brings to us this day. Brother Hubert.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to see each of you. Not because I'm preaching, but I hope that you have come together with the hope this day that God would meet here with us this morning to direct us, to feed us the living manna. God has mixed the formula to feed his children for the everlasting life and sent his son to feed us. He said he made the formula and he sent his son to feed us. That we try to come to the table with clean hands, prepared to eat. That we come this morning with our heart prepared. That we came this morning bringing that spirit with us. That we would have a uniting of the spirit here this morning from each heart and from each mind. And from each desire that we have, with that invitation that his spirit would come and dwell here, to caress us each and to strengthen us, to encourage us, to bear a hope within us. And so as we come, I just feel like that as we gather together, we come for that preparedness, and we have met here to prepare ourselves to eat of that manna, to be directed of the Spirit of God. And you know, as we've been studying in Sunday school class and everything, we're certainly, the world is certainly in the position where it needs to be directed by the power of God. We all are in that position because the enemy to our soul, that individual is called Satan or the devil. He's called many things. He's acting just as strong as he can to draw the souls of the children of men away from God. That they would go and do their own thing, rather than those things that he has caused to be written to edify us and to teach us. And he's done that. He's done that. He's caused to be written these two books that you see before me. And these two books, if we read them prayerfully, if we study them prayerfully, we'll come to the Church of Christ. If we read them prayerfully, we will recognize the need for us to be obedient unto his law. There was a thought brought out in the Sunday school class this morning about people can fall away. You know, when somebody is baptized properly and they lay on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, well, their names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I'm here to tell you that unless you believe the Scriptures and endure to the end, that name can be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. unless we're living the proper life, that it would remain there. And I know that the world teaches that, you know, you're saved by grace, and I won't argue with the fact that we're saved by that power of Christ and one thing and another, but we're saved according to our works, how we applied it. And the scriptures tells us if we don't apply the gospel of Christ to our life, that grace isn't sufficient for us. It's not there. If we want that grace to cover us, if we want that grace to direct us, if we want that grace to deliver within our hearts that desire of hope and understanding and the peace and the happiness, it'll come through the obedience of the gospel of Christ. It'll come through those things. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come from any other source. There's no other source that had the right to stand and tell the people, these things which I teach are not of me, but the Father which sent me, as the Lord did. That he taught those things, and those things that he has taught over the period of time is essential for the welfare of our soul. Very essential. And it's important that we realize how essential it is, because these books here, all of us know as we studied and gone through Sunday school classes and everything, these books are going to judge us. That's what he tells us. He says these books are going to be open and we're going to be judged out of those things which are written in these books. Are we aware of what's written in those books? Have we kept ourselves alert and awake at the responsibility not to just say, I believe in Christ, but to live in Christ? How important it is for us to live, to set that example. Isn't that why the Lord said that we're to have a light that will glorify our Father which is in heaven? Does that light that will glorify the Father in heaven come from the evil one? Or does it come from the Son of God? Does it come from those things which he come and taught and was to preserve for us and to teach us and bring us to the understanding of his love and his desire that we would come and live with him? That was his desire, that we come and live with him. And so it's essential that we come and we come together off. And that's what the scripture says. We're to meet together off. We're to come together and associate one with another and encourage one another to follow after the Son of God. To do those things that he has caused to be written. To do those things that is essential for the welfare of our soul. And how important those things are, how important it is that we do just exactly that. And you know, this old world has a tendency to lead us away. This old world has a tendency to lead us away from the Lord. I say this old world, of course it's the enemy to our soul. It's the one that was cast down out of heaven. It's the one that a third of the host of angels went with. We have an enemy daily, nightly. Wherever we're at, we have an enemy to the welfare of our soul. And his desire is to destroy as many as possible. That's the you and I and everyone else. And you know, we can preach and I can preach and we can have brothers come here and preach and we can have all kinds of things happen and everything else, and there's nobody here that can say, well, you know, I converted them, or I this, or I that, or anything else. No. You know, it so happens to tell you, and I hate to tell you, but that's the way it is. You're in your own ballpark. You're making the decision of what's going to happen to you. Nobody else. No one else. You're making a decision to what's going to happen to you. And we're here to work out our salvation. That's what we were sent here for. And he's not going to come and drag you by the hair of the head, and I'm glad that's so, because I'm getting very few, less and less all the time. Or he didn't come to twist your arm, but he came to touch and soften your heart and to give us a desire to go live with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And not to be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what he came for. And to give his life so that we could have life. That's what it's all about. And so I'm going to start with the scripture today. And it's in the 16th chapter of Alma. And I'm going to start with the 228th verse. And that's on page 430, and I'm going to give you the page numbers as I go. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I want you to read it. I want you to know that that's what the scriptures say. That when we stand before him and they're opened up, those scriptures are going to judge us. They're going to lead us. He's going to ask us, have you applied them? And that's what it says, that these books are open and the book of life is open and the dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And that's how you apply them to your life. I know the world says, no, it's not by your works. Oh, yes, it is. It's how you apply the gospel of Christ to your life. If you think you're going to go hating and killing and slaughtering and doing all kinds of stuff that's opposite of the gospel of Christ and say that you believe in him and that you know this and you know that and everything else, well, you're just fooling yourself. We better wake up to the fact that he knows even right now. Did you know he knows what you're thinking? You're not hiding from him. He knows your very thoughts. He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows that we have a desire to live according to the standard that his son has taught. He knows that. Or he knows that, well, if it comes around right, well, I'll do it, but otherwise I'm not going to. And so I'm going to start with that scripture on page 430 in your Book of Mormon. I'm going to start in the 228th verse. He says, behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. Wow. Incidentally, when it says men, a lot of places here in the scriptures is talking about all mankind. It's talking about the ladies. It's talking about the children. It's talking about everybody. He says it's time for us to prepare to meet God. That's what we're doing here. Trying to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. Today is the day for us to live the life of Christ. This is the day for us to perform our labors. Because after you're dead, you can't. This is the time that we have to perform the labors of eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Or we also have the choice that we can commit spiritual suicide. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think that you can do whatever you want to? And thumb your nose at the Lord? Yeah, he gives you that right. And then at the end, he runs his rites and we're cast down with Satan to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Do you like to be tormented? Would you like to live with something like that from all eternity to all eternity like the scripture says? Where are we? We're here in the place that He has placed us here to choose where we want to live and who we want to live with. That's the whole thing of our life. It's not whether we like a bicycle or a motorcycle or a car or four-wheel drive. It's not whether you like ball or if you like football. It's not whether you like any of those things. It's where do you want to live after you go home from this life? Where do we want to live? Do we want to live someplace else to be tormented day and night, which He says it can't come back? Or are we ready to get serious about where we're at and we have a right to repent now and take upon us the name of Christ? Because that's what He says, you know. The Scriptures tells us that when you're baptized, it says you put on Christ. Do you feel like you put Him on? Do you feel like you're listening to His still small voice? Does it sound like we're hearing His direction in our life, in the way that we choose, in the things that we think? That's how important it is. That's what He's telling us here. He tells us here, and I'm going to read on. He says here that you prepare to meet God. He says, yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. This is the day for us to choose what we're going to do and where we're going to live from all eternity to all eternity, bar none. And now, as I say unto you before, as I have so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. Don't procrastinate. Don't keep putting off in your life. You think, well, day after tomorrow, after I have fun and everything, well, I'll think about applying the gospel of Christ to your life. He says, don't procrastinate that time. Is there anybody here within the sounds of my voice today can tell me that you're going to be here tomorrow? If you're in the position of your procrastination, are you sure you're going to have the opportunity to repent and get it in order, or are you going to get killed going home in the car today? Have you ever thought about that procrastination of putting off the things that's required of us to apply the gospel of Christ to our life? Yeah, we're skating on thin ice with the hope that we're going to live long enough that we get our life together and repent and get things in order. It's important that we think about those things, because this old world's getting worse and worse and worse all the time. And I'll just tell you what, there's brothers and sisters in this room, and I know that for sure that knows what I'm talking about. But young people, you know, we wasn't pushed and crowded with all the trash that you are when I was your age. We didn't have the TVs. We didn't have all the darn things. It takes all your time instead of studying the Scriptures so you know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. We didn't have all the drawings and all the good things, the good scriptures, the good things that were set in order when this nation was established. There was things that was established because it was set by Christ. And they've been changed and altered. And they're living it every day. Yeah. You got a different set to run there, boys. You got a different set altogether. Now it's all right, according to the laws, it's all right for homosexuals to marry. It's all right to just go live with somebody without marriage. It's all right to do a lot of things. It's just common. It's a common thing. And all of it violates the law of God. And He tells you that if you're doing that, that you're going to be sent to hell. Are you sure you want to be part of that? And it's not just Old Testament. The New Testament gets very serious about it, and he gets into it, and he tells you there, he says, and he says, you know, he says it's women with women and men with men, and they're subject to death. That's your New Testament, fellas. That's how important these books are, is that we study them, because they're going to judge us. Are you ready for that judgment? When the books are opened, are you ready to be judged out of those things which is caused to be written and held by the Father? Your scriptures tells you that he caused a lot of it to be written even way back then, and says it was going to be more, it's going to be written for us today. And we have it. How important that is. 2:30. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity. Didn't say you prepare for tomorrow. That this day of life is given to us to prepare for eternity. There's no end. That's what we're doing here, is preparing ourselves for eternity. To apply the gospel of Christ to our life. That's what it's about. And how important it is. Because that has to do with the welfare of the guy that lives inside of this house. The scriptures tell us this house that you see here, he says that flesh and blood don't enter in the kingdom of heaven. But that spirit that he put here, that some of you here might call granddad, and some call different names and one thing and another, or Hugh, it can enter in the kingdom of heaven if I'm serious enough to know that I'm living for all eternity. That's what we're here for, to prove who we want to live with from all eternity to all eternity. There's no guessing on it. Which means that each one of us here are making our own choice. Nobody can do it for you. No, we can teach you, try to, pray for you. But everybody's making their own choice. I can't make it for you, and you can't make it for me. I have to make it for me. You have to make it for you. To whether you're going to follow the Lord or whether you aren't going to follow the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for, to choose who we want to live with from all eternity to all eternity. You cannot say when you are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. You know, when I've been out in the gospel preaching and teaching, I've had people say, well, you know, I'll wait for a while before I'm baptized, and wait till I'm old and all my sins are washed away and everything, and I'll be okay and everything else. Well, he just answered that. He just answered that. He says, nay. He says, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your body at the time that you go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. If you go out rebellious against Christ, if you go out opposite of believing him or wanting to obey him or everything, that's how we come back to stand before the judgment bar of God to be judged. We stand with that rebellious spirit before him. That's what he's saying. And we don't have time then to do that. We don't have time to say, well, okay, I'll repent. Our time is to repent is like he asks now. He says, don't procrastinate your period of time of probation. Don't procrastinate your period of time to find out the teachings of God the Father through his Son Jesus Christ that we have to learn that there's things that we do that we have to repent of and quit doing if we want to go live with Him. And if we really repent, we'll quit doing it. Otherwise, it don't do any good to say, I repented, and then go right back and do the same thing. Well, the Lord knows whether you're going to repent or not, because He knows where your heart's at. And that's important. That we have to come to the conclusion that we can't hide anything from the Lord. You can't hide something. He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows what you have on your mind. You can't hide from Him. That's how come He can judge you. That's how come He knows what you got on your mind and on your heart. You can't hide it from Him. And how important that is. And I know that for a fact because, you know, I've taken charge of a prayer service in times past. And while I was in charge of a prayer service, it was given to me, different people in the audience, and I knew their very thoughts. I knew just exactly what they were thinking. And when the service was over, I went to them, and I went to them to talk to them to say, how'd you know? I knew because the Lord revealed it to me. What's that tell you? He knew what they were thinking too, didn't He? He knew their very thoughts just exactly. And so it's important that we understand those things. I don't know about the other brothers here in the audience, but I can tell you there have been times I've been called to administer to someone. And when I laid my hands on their head, I knew their very thoughts. I knew just exactly what they were thinking. I knew what they were thinking. And sometimes I had the Spirit come down and stop in my hands because they were rebellious and it didn't even go into them. What a mess. What a mess. This individual has come and given his life and suffered for us because he loves us. Do we love Him to the point that we're willing to listen to His teachings and endeavor to live the life that has been prescribed by His Father? Are we really ready to not set aside and procrastinate our time while we're here and think, well, when I get a chance later on, I'll do something different? But you know, the Scriptures tell you when you leave this earth here, He says you go back to the God that gave it. And the Scriptures tells us, and then there's a decision made whether you go to a place of happiness called paradise or if you're cast into outer darkness. And if you've been rebelling against the teachings of Christ and against the Lord, you're cast out in outer darkness. That's what the Scriptures tells you. That's why it's important for us to be serious about fasting and praying and serious about praying and studying the Scriptures to know what it teaches. Because it teaches a lot of things that a lot of people just let go and they don't think about. They just think, well, that's just it. But it's important because they're going to judge them when they stand before the Lord. Because those books are going to be opened. And He's going to read those things, the same thing you can read right now. And is He going to say, blessed are you, enter ye in, or is He going to say, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that? What was your holdback? I gave you as much time as I could to change and to get yourself in order and to repent and do the things you're supposed to do, but you didn't do it. Why? That's how important it is, brothers and sisters. That's how important this gospel is. This gospel has to do with our soul's welfare. It has to do with our life. It has to do with how you're going to live when you leave this earth. Is it going to be tormented day and night? Or is it going to be where there's love and happiness and peace and joy? That's what we're here for. That's how important it is for us to gather together. That's why the scriptures tell you to gather together off. That you come together and support one another. That you come together and talk about the Lord. And talk about the hope that you have within you. And how important it is. And know that those things which he taught are going to be done. He says he doesn't change. He says not even a shadow of changing. The scripture says there's not anything can be added to the gospel nor deleted from it. What does that tell us? That tells us it's going to be the same. That's what's going to judge us. That's how important it is. That's how important it is. And to think the one that has the power to do those things and everything else, to think that he loved us to the point that he caused these scriptures to be written so you and I could know the different things that took place in times past and will in the future, as we've been studying. Things that will be done of the promises of our God. Of the things that are good and the promises of the things that are bad. If we get in and get looking real close to what happens to how we live our life and to what we do. It's very important. Very important. It's something that we should meditate on regularly and come to that conclusion that it's important that we follow after those words and follow after the gospel. 233, for behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subject to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore the spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Yea, he that hath also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom to go no more out, but there garment shall be made white with the blood of the Lamb. How important that is, it be made blood white with the blood of the Lamb. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, and that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, and that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye shall receive it and take it upon you in the name of Christ, that ye humble yourselves even to the dust and worship God in whatsoever place ye may be in the spirit of truth, wherever you're at in this old world. How important is it? Do we believe that scripture? Do we believe those things? Do we really believe he's going to judge us according to that? Yes, as a matter of fact, he is. That's why he said that these books are going to be open and we're going to be judged out of those things that are written in the books. That's how come it's so important that we come to that understanding that we have to do that. I'm going to go over to page 346. Now that's in Alma again. And I want to read some scriptures there. There in Alma, I'm going to read the 40th through the 43rd. Then I'm going to read 47 through 55. He says, and we see that death comes upon mankind, yea, the death which hath been spoken of by Amulek, which is the temporal death. Nevertheless, there was a space granted unto man in which he might repent. We're in that time now, folks. We're in the time right now that our time that we're here has been granted to repent. Have we done it? I can't answer for you, but you have to answer for yourself. And you'll have to answer for yourself when you stand before this judgment seat of Christ. That's how important it is. Therefore, this life became a probationary state. Probationary, right. Couldn't get it out of my mouth. A time to prepare to meet God. A time to prepare for that endless state which hath been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. Now, if it had been not been for the plan of redemption which was laid from the foundation of the world, there could have been no resurrection of the dead. But there was a plan of redemption laid, which shall bring to pass a resurrection of the dead, of which hath been spoken, that would bring to pass the resurrection of the dead that had been spoken, that it was set before. It's set before we were born. It was set before these things come. It was set that you and I would have an opportunity to apply them to our life and go live with God the Father. They were already set. His Son came suffering, teaching, and giving his life so we could have life. Is that a serious time to you and I? As a matter of fact, it is. Because if he hadn't done that, we didn't have a chance. Now we have a chance, and that chance is in our pocket. That chance is in you. Your chance is in you. My chance is in me. We're the ones that have to live that probation period of time. We're the ones that have to apply the gospel of Christ to our life. Just because the guy next door does that, that doesn't mean that's going to help you a bit. Because he's going to judge you to how you ordained and how you did things, and he says, according to your works, not the guy next door or the gal next door. It's what we've done. That's what's going to judge us. Yeah. So it's real serious for us to get serious about the thoughts that the scriptures were going to judge us, and that we had better know what those scriptures say. We better understand that. Because he covers our life. He covers the way to have eternal life with him and his Father very specifically. In fact, he tells us that, he says that he has caused to be written sufficient that no man should not know the way. And he has. He has. He has caused those things to be written. He has caused those things to come to pass. Now I'm going to start in 47th verse there. And after God hath appointed that these things should come unto man, behold, then he saw that it was expedient that man should know concerning the things whereof he had appointed unto them. That was important for us to know what was appointed to us. What was it? What was it that he said we had to do? What was it he said we were not to do? What was those? Therefore he sent angels to converse with them, which caused men to behold of his glory. And they began from the time forth to call on his name. Therefore God conversed with men and made known unto them the plan of redemption which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world. And this he made known unto them according to their faith and repentance and their holy works. Well, if you don't study the scriptures, and if you're not serious about it, if you're not studying it prayerfully and everything, how do you think you're going to know everything? How do you think? Haven't they been written and preserved by the power of God for us to study them so that we know? Yes. So there's this period of time here. In 2018, we can come together and hear the words of the Lord and know they're true. And like was brought up in the class there today about prophecy, that where we begin to study the words of the Lord and go back and look at history of the world and of the different nations and one thing and another, we see the literal fulfillment of many prophecies that were prophesied by the power of God. They're there. We see that. We witness that. We witness those things. And so how important is it that he has caused these things to be written? How important is it that he tells us that these things are important to us? Well, it has to do with our spiritual welfare. It has to do with our soul's welfare. It has to do with the living manna that you and I must eat and apply. That living manna, you know, we eat and everything. It might be that people have different desires of food and everything else, you know. And some might eat a hamburger and somebody might eat a steak and somebody might be hash browns and there'd be all kinds of stuff. But God has a living manna that we need to eat of to develop the strength of our spirit to resist Satan. To develop that strength to not want to have anything to do with him. To recognize that when he said he's the father of lies, he is. That he's a master deceiver. That he wants to destroy the soul to the children of men. He wants them to come down and go down and be tormented day and night with him. Because he knows what's going to happen. And did you know the scripture says there's no way back? Yes. We're making the decision to what we're doing right now. We're making that decision right now. We're making the decision as we live in this life before we're called home, to where that spirit is going to live from all eternity to all eternity. Is it serious? Is it serious to you? Is it really important for you to know? Is it really important to know that you'd apply them or you're not to apply it? How important it is? As a matter of fact, it is. It's really serious. I'm going to read a little bit more here. 50th verse. And this he had made known unto them according to their faith and repentance and their holy works. Wherefore he gave commandments unto men, they having first transgressed his first commandments as to things which were temporal, and being as gods, knowing good from evil, placing themselves in the state to act, or being placed in the state to act according to their will and pleasures, whether they do evil or they do good. Therefore God gave unto them commandments after having made known unto them the plan of redemption, that they should not do evil, the penalty thereof being the second death, which was the everlasting death as to things pertaining unto righteousness. How important that is. It's everlasting death as to things pertaining unto righteousness. And you know, we are making that decision. You and I are making that decision. Whether we like it or not, you might say, well, I don't want to. I don't want to make a decision, but you're going to make a decision whether you like it or not. And you're making it now. You're making it day by day to who you want to live with. That's what that amounts to. Don't fool yourself that, no. I'm not worried about any of that. That don't have anything to do with it. No. Oh, yes, it does. Because they're going to judge us, and we're going to be judged by these things. I want to turn over to page 594 in the Book of Mormon. This is the fifth chapter of Helaman. And he tells you here, I'm just going to read a couple of verses because of the time. But he tells us what it is. I'm going to read the 85th and the 86th verses. And now remember, my brethren, that whosoever perisheth, perisheth unto himself. You're the responsible of it. You're responsible for it. Perisheth unto himself. And whosoever doeth iniquity, doeth it to himself. For behold, ye are free and are permitted to act for yourself. For behold, God hath given unto you a knowledge, and he hath made you free. He hath given unto you that ye might know good from evil. He hath given unto you that ye might choose life or death. And ye can do good and be restored to that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you. Or you can do evil and have that which is evil restored unto you. That's about as plain as you can get it, brothers and sisters. We're making our own decision. If you make a decision that's evil and goes the wrong way, that's nobody's fault but yours. You can't say, well, so-and-so's responsible for it. No, you're responsible for it. You are. Nobody else. That's your decision. And you've been given the right to choose what you want to do. Good or bad. That's what it amounts to. There's so much in the scriptures that would absolutely verify those things. While we're here, I want to bring over to you in the 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi. That's on page 675. I want to read just a few scriptures here to tell you about the books I'm reading from. I want to tell you about these books. I want you to see, because this is Christ talking to him when after he was crucified, he was over here. And he was telling them of these things. I'm going to start in brevity's sake. I'm going to start in the second verse. He says, for behold, out of the books which have been written, and which shall be written, which is going to be, because this is in 34 A.D., there was more to be written, and which shall be written, shall this people be judged, for by them shall their works be known unto man. And behold, all things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the books which are written, shall the world be judged. And know ye that ye shall be judged of this people according to the judgment which I shall give unto you, which shall be just. He's talking about the 12 disciples that he chose on this land. Therefore, what manner of man had ye ought to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am, and now I go unto the Father. that he has caused these things to be written to edify us, to teach us, if we're interested. If we're not interested in what's going to happen when we leave this earth, we don't give a darn, we're just going to do as we please, we're going to answer for it. That's how precious these scriptures are. That's how important they are to teach us. That's how important they are. They're not just a pass a night or just go by and just that they have to do with our life. They have to do with the life that lives inside of this house, to what's going to happen to that life and where that life is going to live from all eternity to all eternity. That's what it has to do with it. And so it's really serious, young people. It's serious that you know what those books teach. And more serious that you know not only what they teach, but you apply to your life. Because if you don't apply it to your life, they have no advantage to you. You're in trouble. And you're the one that's making that trouble for yourself, because nobody can do it for you. That's your decisions. That's your decision. That's my decision. That's the way it is. There isn't another. And so, you know, it's really important that we come together. It's really important that we go. Maybe we ought to verify that. Let's go over to the 20th chapter of Revelations. In the 20th chapter of Revelations in your Bible, I'm going to start in the 9th verse there. He says, "And they went up on the camp of the earth, on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." This is the evil people that was taught by Satan and his angels. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That don't sound like a good thing, does it? "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." It's how you apply them to your life. If you aren't applying them to your life, the only one you're fooling is yourself. Because they're going to come home and bite you. That's what it amounts to. That's how important it is. That's how important it is. You know, there's so many things that come out and there's thoughts that have to be brought down and brought to the understanding of each of us, that the scriptures are true and they're going to judge us. The scriptures are true and they're going to judge us. And they really are plain. He tells us that he has caused sufficient to be written to edify any of us if we want to know the truth and go to it. The scriptures are true. If we pick up the scriptures and we find out that Christ, the Son of God, without sin, was baptized to set an example for us, told John the Baptist it's necessary to fulfill all righteousness, that both the Bible and the Book of Mormon says if you don't repent, and if you're not baptized, he says you're damned. Yeah. to let us understand that he has made some laws. God the Father has made some laws and sent his Son to teach him so that we would know the way. And he says, follow thou me and do the things you see me do. How do you follow him if you're not going to enter in the water baptism? How are we going to do those things? You know, that's how important these scriptures are, brothers and sisters. And that's how come we meet here to learn and to go into Sunday school and discuss things and look at the scriptures. And that's why we come. And you come to hear somebody like me or others to preach the gospel, to try to bring out. You know, as Karen brought out, I could just hear part of it with my ears and stuff and the things there. Karen brought out that the reorganized church at one time, it was set up that wherever you was at in the reorganized church throughout the United States or any place else, you'd hear the same subject because you had to preach it. That's the way it was set up. Well, you know, the Church of Christ is different. When you're called to occupy, I know that my brothers do the same thing. You approach the Lord and you fast and you pray and you ask him, what is it that you're to talk on? What is it that your brothers and sisters need to hear? And he usually gives you a subject that you're to talk on, like I am today. And you know, as this come out, you know, and you think about it, and you know, there's been a time that I did that and I didn't get an answer. So I thought, well, I'm supposed to preach, so I better get something together. And so I got something together, and on the way to church, the Spirit of the Lord says, you're not going to talk on that. He says, you'll know what you're supposed to say when you stand to your feet. And when I stood to my feet, what I was to say and the scriptures I was to use came forth. And when they stopped, I sat down. And afterwards, when the service was closed, I had people come up and say, you know, we've been praying for that months. About what about that? You know? Well, I didn't know they was praying for it, but the Lord did. And he answered it. That's the desire of his heart, to answer the things that we have and worries and things that would draw us closer to him and his Father, not separate us. That we would have a better knowledge and a better understanding of those things so that we would recognize his love. Yeah. You know, the very avenue of prayer that we use all the time, that was given to us as a gift from God the Father, where we could talk to him. Where we could seek his guidance, where we could seek his understanding, that we could see those things. The avenue that we saw again today of administration, so that his people could be blessed. The very gift of blessing a little child. And he says, their angel beholds the faith of my Father daily. How true that is. How true that is. Is that true? You know, when I was with Brother Brickhouse in Africa, we went up to Moses' place, and I'd never been there before, and I was scheduled to preach. And I was preaching, and in the middle of my sermon, I was told there's a sister there that was deathly sick. And she needed to be administered to. And so I stopped. And you know, Moses come over, he was my interpreter, and he said, "What'd you stop for?" Yeah. And my brother that I went over there with, Brother Brickhouse, he come over and he says, "What'd you stop for?" I told him, "There's a spirit of the Lord told me there's a sister here that is deathly sick and needs to be administered to." Moses says, "Well, what's her name?" I said, "I don't know. I've never been here before. This is my first time here. I don't know anybody. But she's sitting over by that third window right there." And they went and got her, and she was deathly sick. And they administered to her, and she was healed. She was healed. And she came to me when I was through, and she thanked me, and I told her, "Don't thank me, thank the Lord. He's the one that knew you was sick. He's the one that told me you were sick and you need to be administered to." Well, we got to come to the conclusion that when we have those things experienced in our life, it comes from the Lord because of His love for us. I experienced a lot of things there. I know my brothers must have too. We blessed a little tiny baby. Not that big. Just as black as my shoe. And while we were blessing that little guy, an angel came down and held him. The Lord is active, and He has a great love for His creation, and He has a hope and a desire for each of us. He wants us to hear His voice. He wants us to tune in that still small voice that directs us to eternal life with Him and His Father. That's the desire of His heart, that we hear that voice, that we witness it. Yes. And that we're looking for it. And we don't throw it in a closet and say, "Well, when I get time, I might come back and open up the door and see what's going on there." You better do it constantly, because it has to do with the welfare of the individual that lives inside of this whole house. For each of us. And know that He's interested in the welfare of your soul. I can't see anybody in this room, young or old, middle age, boy or girl, I can't see anybody before me, and I can't see anybody when I'm out grocery shopping or wherever I'm at. I can't see anybody that the Lord don't have a desire for the welfare of their soul. Because He does. He has a desire for the welfare of our soul. That's what it's about. That's just exactly what it's about. You know, if I was going to go, I got to start shorting up here. I see. I can use a human thought there and say, well, of course, part of my time went to the administrations, but I'm glad they did. But I want to tell you, and I want to tell you in the Book of Mormon that the Lord prepared a compass for them. He prepared a compass, and if they would walk justly and with faith and everything, that compass would take them across the desert and take them to water and where there was food and all that kind of stuff, and that compass did just exactly that. Of course, they had a little time when they lost their faith and wasn't doing what they were supposed to. It cost them. They got hungry. They got thirsty. Yeah, that's what happened. But brothers and sisters, God created a compass for all mankind. And His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He can plot your travel through this life Even when you run into the roughest, no good things, He can still guide you to the door that enters into the kingdom of heaven. You know, when I was in the service, like Don, I imagine Don had the same thing, but when I was in the service, I was running a patrol boat, and I had a compass, and every time you went someplace, well, you had to go through and you had to chart your course. And boy, I've charted my course and used that compass when I couldn't hardly see the hand in front of my face like that because of the fog. But because I charted the course on that compass and stayed with that compass, I got to where I needed to go. Well, Christ is our compass. He's charting our course. He loves you. If you'll go to that compass and listen to that compass and follow the direction of that compass, you're going to reach your goal. You're going to reach your goal. That's what's going to happen. You'll reach your goal. But if you don't listen to that compass, you're in trouble. Because you're going to hit a shore. You're going to sink. You're going to have a hard time. And so as we come this morning, I'd like to have us remember that those things that He has caused to be written to edify us and to teach us, I'm going to go around a lot of them, and I'm going to go to a scripture. I'm going to read a last scripture because I had others to bring out that verifies the very things that we've been talking about, that verifies those things and bring them to our halt and how important they are. And you know, it's but I know that my time is getting away from me. And I'm going to read on page 147 in your Book of Mormon. And I'm going to start in verse 46. And I'm going to start, I'm going to start in 45, in 95, excuse me. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world. For He loveth the world, even that He layeth down His own life, that He may draw all men unto Him. When He says He loveth the world, that doesn't mean that he loves the mountain over there. He's not worried about the mountain. He created it. The things that He created that has a right to choose is human beings. You and I and people like us that has a right to choose right from wrong. That has a right to make a decision what's going to happen to them. And it's important. I see young mothers here and one thing and another. What's the scripture say about the young mothers and about the fathers? It says their responsibility is to teach the children. And He says if they don't teach the children, 3 to 4 generations goes down, their sins is upon the mothers and fathers because they didn't teach them. Did you know the scripture said that? That's what it says. That there is a responsibility to the parents as well. And how important it is. That's what He says. That 3 to 4 generations down, if they're sinning and doing things they're not supposed to because you didn't teach them and they didn't teach their children and their children's children, that He was going to hold them responsible for it. We have a job to do, not just the ministry, the standing before you. You mothers, Your aunts, your uncles, your grandmothers, your grandfathers, they have a responsibility to try to instill on you a desire to follow after the Son of God called Jesus Christ the Lord. They have that responsibility. That's how important it is. That's how important it is that he wants us to know the way to eternal life. That's what it's about. 97. Wherefore he commandeth none that they should not partake of his salvation. You hear that? He's not telling anybody in this room they can't partake of salvation. He has a hope that we will. He has a hope that we will. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Did you ever try to go to Christ and say, Get away from me, don't touch me, I don't want to hear anything you got to say? No. Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Buy milk and honey without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the house of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he hath given it free for all men. And he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But all men privileged the one like the other, and none are forbidden. He commandeth that there should be no priestcraft, for behold, priestcraft are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they might get gain and praise of the world. But they seek not the welfare of Zion. They seek not the welfare of Zion. That's one of the things we were talking about today, is paid ministry. There's a lot more scriptures than what I just read there that has to do with the paid ministry. Because they're preaching for hire rather than preaching for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm going to quit. I've got a bunch of scriptures here yet, but I'm not going to get into them. But before I go, I want to tell you that my prayer, my hope for each of us, that we come to the realization that we are working out our own salvation. Nobody else is doing it for us. And so we better wake up to the fact that we better learn what the scriptures say so we know how important it is to apply it to our life and live it. So when we stand before him, he would be able to say, Enter ye in, my faithful servant. God bless us to that end.